Our preacher today is someone who probably does not need to be introduced to you. John, or better known as Mac McCarthy. He has first come to RTS as a DMin student in 1992. He completed a dissertation on ordination in the black churches. After completing that dissertation in 1996, he came on staff as the public services librarian, has been with us since that time. He also serves as a pastor, and I do not have the name of the church. Okay, good enough. Okay, so he's going to be preaching to us today from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Please turn in your Bible, if you have it with you, to those verses. I will be reading from the ESV. Hear now the word of the Lord. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days.
If I was home, I would look at the congregation and clearly say, now for the rest of the story. For we as a people, when we read about Pentecost and we think about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we love to go to the second chapter of Acts, and that's where we seem to dwell. We hang out there and get, wow, look at what God is doing. Look what he did. The Spirit of God fell on them, and they spoke with tongues, and everybody was able to hear the word of God. But there's more to the story. You and I are not Jews. So Pentecost, although it's important, it's great, but Pentecost don't bring us into the fold of the church. So as Paul Harvey said, now for the rest of the story. If you don't mind, let's paint the picture of how the Spirit of God was poured out on the church at Caesarea, the Gentile church. How God opened the floodgates and invited you and me into his body. Wow. I don't know about you, but I get excited about certain things in the scripture. When I read about how God created everything, how he spoke and it came into being, I get excited because I know the power of God just can happen by a mere word. He just spoke it and it came about. So Genesis chapter 1 get me excited. But when I read about John, my favorite gospel, and it said, in the beginning is the word, and the word is with God, I get even more happier because I realize Jesus always was. And wow, as I keep reading about John, he tell me everything that was made by him, and I go, whoa. So when I read in Genesis, in the beginning, it is not talking about the beginning of God the Father, of God the Son, or the Holy Spirit. The beginning of the process of bringing us and making the world. Wow. I don't know about you, but there are some days that are important in my life. There are days that I rejoice in. All of us remember our birthday. It is important. You know, if the family forget about your birthday, it's like, what are you doing? You forgot about me. Most of us who have been married try not to forget about the day we said, I do. It's an important day to us. Our wives remember more than we do, but if God has blessed us with children, they give us hints along the way, so when the day comes, it pops in our mind. So as we remember the day of Pentecost and the Spirit being poured out on the church and the church being formed, and we're watching the Jews receiving the Holy Spirit, I pray that you focus in on chapter 10 of Acts, where the Spirit of God was poured out on Gentiles. And brothers and sisters, if you read your Word of God, it shouldn't be no shock to you. It shouldn't be amazing. Yes, God did choose Israel. He chose the Jews as his special people. For we read when he called Abram and he told him to get away from his people and told him that he would bless him. But he also said in Genesis 12, he said he will bless others through him. So we shouldn't be surprised that we are included. And sometimes we as preachers forget to tell our church that God always had us in mind in everything that he was doing. He never really left us out. And if we're being faithful to his word, we will see that as the word is unfolded, God made sure that we understood that we will be included. You do realize you can't get out of Genesis without reading about Abram running into Melchizedek. Abraham, you do realize that, don't you? Abraham was a Jew, but Melchizedek wasn't. And he's called the great high priest after God. Wow. Here is a Gentile high priest that the father Abraham is paying homage to. And if you have the audacity to read all the way through your word of God, you'll find in Hebrew that Jesus is told he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Wow, a Gentile. God always had us in his plan. And he dropped little nuggets throughout the Old Testament to remind us. Wow. And then God had the audacity to have a whole book about a man, the most richest man in all the world at that time. Job was his name. And God had the audacity to look at Satan and say, "Have you considered my servant Job?" It wasn't a Jew. It was a Gentile. Wow. God took this man and said, "Look at him. There's none like him." That's one of us, our ancestors. Yes, we weren't the chosen people, but God never forgot about us. And because God knew there'd be a time when everybody would say the Bible is full of male chauvinists, he put in the book of Ruth and went, "Wow. Here was a Moabitess. She wasn't a Jew, but she was more faithful than any sons could ever be. And God had the audacity to put her in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We are not an afterthought. God always had a plan for us to be in his church, in his program. So yes, you rejoice at Pentecost. You thank God. Wow, look what God is doing. Look how the Holy Spirit was poured out. And yes, they spoke in tongues, other languages. Wow. And I thought when I got here and they started teaching me the Hebrew and Greek, I knew it had to be another language. But God moved. In the black church, we always talk to paint the story. Tell the whole story. And brothers and sisters, you cannot grasp the significance of these verses that have been read into your hearing about how the Holy Spirit poured out on Cornelius and his household without looking at the rest of chapter 10. So if you don't mind, I'm going to paint the story. I'm going to move out your way. I must thank Dr. Bargis for forgiving me for not doing that up front. He asked me to... Did I want him to read the scripture? I said, "Yes." "Do you want me to do the benediction?" I said, "Yes." And I was hoping he was going to ask, "Do you want me to preach?" And I was going to say, "Yes." But he stopped short, so you got me. But look at this. Look how this opened. This story opened with it saying, "And Cornelius was a man that was a man in Caesarea. By the name of Cornelius, a centurion." Now, you need to understand something. I'm a proud military. So whenever they talk about a military man, I smile. To know God included us in his plan. Saying he was a devoted man. He was a man who feared God. He wasn't a proselyte because he didn't adhere to circumcision and didn't offer sacrifice. But he knew God. He feared God. And look what he's doing. He is praying. And it wasn't something that he haphazardly did. It's something he did on a regular basis. He prayed. And I do remember my brothers telling us that one of the things that seem to go when we get caught up in life is we stop praying. The first point I want to lay out to you, and it's all going to be peas, is prayer. Brothers and sisters, you got to always pray. You cannot go through this life being faithful to God without talking to God. And I know sometimes you get caught up and wonder, how do I know if God talking to me? If I stand here and ask you, do you recognize the voice of your mom? Your mom don't have to be standing in front of you, but when she speaks, you know it's her voice. Why? You have spent time with her. You have heard her talk to you. Brothers and sisters, if you take time and spend it with the Word of God, if you take time to read His Word, and I'm not talking about preparing for somebody's exam. I am not talking about because somebody assigned these scriptures for you to read. I'm talking about stealing away and spending time with God, just you and God. You're reading this word. You're wrestling with this word. You're trying to understand it. And now that you know a little Greek and Hebrew, oh, okay, this is, yeah, I got, okay, I got that. But you're wrestling with it. You're trying to understand. God, what is here you want me to grasp? What is in here you want me to understand? How should this impact my life? How should I live a life that is pleasing to you? You go to God and you ask God, and you do it always because you realize the more you learn about God, the more you realize what a wretch you are. Hello? The more you learn about His Son, and the price and the love that God has shown for you, the more you realize the life that you're living is not worthy to be called His child. Make it even worse. God done had the audacity to call some of us to be preachers and teachers, some of us to be counselors. He have called us and given us a mission to do. How can you do that without His help? How can you dare go into a counseling session without spending time with God? God, illuminate to me. Help me. Give me a spirit of understanding. And please give me the language to speak so they can understand what they need to hear. And brothers and sisters, don't get caught up with everybody. Don't jump for joy. Everybody don't embrace everything that you say. That's in God's hand. Our charge is to live and preach the word. But Cornelius was a man of prayer. Not only Cornelius, but the other central character in this story, Peter, was a man of prayer. Look what it said. It said, on the next day at noontime, he was in prayer. He went up on the roof in a solitary place, getting away from everything because you want to spend quiet time with the Lord. And I know each one of you have a quiet time with God. It ain't no question about it. You are seminarians. You know the importance of prayer. Know the importance of spending time with God. So I'm taking that for granted. Well, let me put it this way. I pray that you're praying. Amen. Both of these men was men of prayer. And brothers and sisters, if you're going to do anything for God, you have to be on His program. You have to be doing it in a way that's pleasing to Him. Not the way you think it should be done, but the way God wanted it to be done. And you can't do that if you don't communicate with Him and let Him communicate with you. I say it, each one of you know your mother's voice because you spend time with her. You spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time around God-fearing people. When the Spirit of God moves on you, you understand it is God and not man, because you'll recognize His voice. And they had the audacity to write in the Word, my sheep will know my voice. Hello? Wow. So we must be people of prayer, just as Cornelius and Peter was. And brothers and sisters, Not only is prayer laid out here, but to paint the picture fully, I must tell you there was a time of preparation. But if you look at this, you see it, you clearly see it on chapter 10, because as Cornelius was praying, an angel appeared to him, and the same thing had happened before in the Word of God when God called Saul. Isn't it amazing that when we get to chapter 10, we are right in the middle of God about to open the Word and open the church to the Gentile? Just prior to that, he not only called an apostle to the church, but he called one well-trained. Seminarians, you should be smiling. Because Paul wasn't no drop in the bucket. He was someone well-trained in the Word of God. A time of preparation. That's where you are right now. You are here getting prepared to do what God has called you to do. And brothers and sisters, this is a golden opportunity. On-the-job training is rough. So you need to get a close contact with God, because there are going to be times when you get on this field doing what thus said the Lord, when you're going to feel like you're in a valley of dry bones. There are going to be times when you're going to wonder, am I doing what thus said the Lord? So this time of preparation is critical. Well, you learn the skills. You learn how to read. You learn how to meditate. You learn how to understand God's word. You learn how to respond to individuals in a way that don't turn them off. You learn how to rightly divide the word of truth, but most off, more important than anything else, you learn how to live a life that is pleasing to God, I say. Some of the greatest sermons that you ever preach will not come out your mouth. Some of the greatest counseling that you ever give will not be the word that you speak in a counseling section. It'll be those sermons that people watch you as you go about your daily life. You tell me that I should be submissive to my spouse, my husband, and he just happened to come in and see you coming in, and you and your spouse is in a heated argument, and they don't see you doing what you profess you know. But yet, that's what you're telling them. You talk about how the Word of God should permeate their life and how it should lead and guide them in everything. And as I started just talking about praying, but they see you when you're making a major decision, they never see you pause to call on God. Wow. A great time of preparation. And here's a time of preparation here in this word, because there was a wall of enmity between the Gentiles and the Jews. A self-respecting Jew would not even be found in the house of a Gentile. In fact, if he walked outside of Israel, walked outside of Jerusalem, when he got out of the heathen land, he would shake the dust off his feet, because he didn't want the dust of that heathen land to set to be on the sacred ground of Israel. He wouldn't dare have dinner with a Gentile. Wouldn't even buy anything from a Gentile. Wouldn't eat anything a Gentile had prepared. Wouldn't have nothing to do with them. But here God is preparing them. He tells a Gentile to go send for a man who is a Jew, and he knows he's a Jew. And notice how it played out. When the messengers got to Peter's house, notice they didn't go in. They stopped at the gate because they understood their place. Hello? They know they weren't allowed to go in. Sometimes God gonna ask you to do things that don't make sense, but you got to be faithful to God in his preparation so you'll be prepared to execute what he's calling you to do. Peter's preparation was the sheet that came down three times with all kind of animals in it. And he was hungry, and the word said, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." And notice Peter said, "I don't eat anything unclean." And God had the audacity to say, "What I have made, don't call unclean." There's a reason why the sheep came down from heaven, for it's symbolic of its coming from the Lord God Almighty. Three times he did this. And brothers and sisters, you need to understand there's no coincidences in your life. There's no coincidence in the Word of God. Because the Word says, Peter pondered this, the brothers showed up from Caesarea and asked for the man called Simon Peter. And then he began to understand what thus says the Lord. I have no respect for person. And notice what he did. He invited them in. He let them stay with them all night. And even though it's not there in the scripture, we would think good hospitality would require that he would have gave them something to eat. He violated those strict rules that the Jews had of separation between Jews and Gentiles. He violated them because he felt that's what God wanted him to do. He knew in his heart that God was changing things. And notice he willingly went. Part of our Christian walk is to be obedient to the word of God. Notice in both of these situations, the men of God obeyed God. The hardest part of being a Christian is to obey. We groan. If you're like me, you couldn't wait to get out your mother's house because you wasn't going to obey nobody. You were going to be your own man or your own woman. I ain't got to obey nobody. I can do whatever I wanted. And then God blessed me. He let me marry Miss Brown's daughter. And I quickly learned obedience have a different line. I am the man of my house, but she ruled the roost. It's the hardest thing for we Christians to do. We read about it, we study, we understand it, become execution time, we balk at it. But notice these two men, they willingly obeyed what God had laid out there. So preparation turned in presentation. Because when God prepared you for something, give you an opportunity to do it. Notice the next day the word said Peter went and he got there. And Cornelius, again, notice Cornelius went out and met Peter because he wasn't sure Peter was going to come in. Because he understood the restrictions that was there. And Peter explained to him that God had moved in such a way that he understand that God have no respect of person. Wow. What is it you want of me? The angel told me to send for you. And I've got my household and all my relatives, and we are ready to hear what God have told you to tell us. Cornelius was prepared to hear the gospel. And Peter was prepared to present it. You don't have this problem in your church, but in the black church, the pastor is held with high esteem, and it's not no coincidence that you see Cornelius falling down, prostrate, giving praises to Peter. It's not a coincidence. And Peter's saying, hold it. I am a man just like you. Cornelius was showing respect and reverence the only way he knew how. And Peter gently told him, no, I'm just a man. Brothers and sisters, you're going to be so equipped when you walk out of RTS, you're going to be head and shoulders above most people in the place you serve. As the old mothers used to say to us, don't let it go to your head. Just because you know Greek and Hebrew, just because you're reading the later version of the Bible, just because they can't pronounce half the words in the Old Testament, don't think you're more holier than anyone else. Just because you know all the techniques of counseling, don't think you can solve all the problems. Don't become puffed up. Be humble like the man of God. I'm just a man. Give the credit to the Spirit of God working in you. And the presentation time, praise God. We preachers love the presentation. The singing is great. The prayers is magnificent. But we live for the chance to stand and rightly divide the word of truth. God let us open our mouth and share in such a way that the people will get a glimpse of what it means to be your Savior. Peter stood and he spoke the gospel. In fact, if you go read the Gospel of Mark, you pretty much read what Peter spoke about. Man, wouldn't it be nice if you can preach a sermon that long? Oh, y'all don't think so. I'm not going to be that long. But he laid out the gospel clear in an understanding way. And brothers and sisters, you are trained to make the complex very simple so that even a child sitting in the pews can grasp what thus says the Lord. You're trained so even the PhD sitting in the pew who think that he knows it all, you can speak a word in such a way that you will get his attention. You are trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You are trained to rightly deal with a situation and pull all the covers back and present it in such a way that it makes sense to the people God has given you the privilege to serve. And now, we come to the part of the scriptures that God laid on my heart to share with you. As a student sitting in Dr. Kissemaker's class, I was struck when he was talking about the book of John, and he came to John 3:16 with tears in his eyes. He said, "I cannot explain to you these words." And I looked at him perplexed. What is he talking about? And as I got to know the man, and as I got to begin to learn more about the word of God, brothers and sisters, we don't have the ability to explain the depths of love that God has for a wretch like us. No Greek or Hebrew will ever prepare you to unfold it in such a way that a sinner can understand a just God would willingly let his son come all the way from glory to live among us, and not only that, but willingly tell him he got to go die on the cross. And I don't know about you, but in the black church, we struggle with the time when Jesus was in Gethsemane. We struggle with that because we hear the Son of God pleading with his Father, "Is there another way?" And God the Father, who is a just God, say, "No, you must die. You must be a perfect sacrifice." And brothers and sisters, if you haven't slowed down long enough to put your name in that, then he's paid the price for me. If you hadn't made it personal, you have missed the boat, because it is personal. We was outside. We was not in. We couldn't go into the presence of God like the Jews could. It was in outer court. But God in his wisdom moved upon the leader of the church and had him come to a Gentile, and he broke down the walls of separation, and he spoke about the love of God in such a way that as he was preaching, before he could complete, before he got to the amen, the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. They began to praise God in tongues of different languages, and the people who came with Peter was stunned. They was amazed. How could this be? How could these Gentiles, these heathen, these good for nothing, these low life, how could God pour out his spirit on them just as he did for us? Wow. Wow. They broke out in praise, and that is the last point. Brothers and sisters, whenever you're doing the work of God, get prepared to praise the Lord God Almighty, because he will move in such a way that it'll blow your mind. And it's not because you're so good, you're so great. It is because you've been a servant who obeyed the Lord God Almighty. And in your obedience, he will touch the heart. Jesus had the audacity to tell his disciples they'll do a greater work than he have done. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Have you raised anybody from the dead? There he go. Must be one of them Baptist things. Have you presented the word of God in such a way that somebody didn't know him, accepted him as their Lord and Savior? And brother and sister, if you can say yes to that, ye have raised a heathen from death to life. Wow, what a privilege. An awesome power that God has given. And for that we rejoice and we give praise to the Lord God Almighty. Yes, we get happy about it. Yes, we can't contain ourselves about it. Because we as a people wrestle with the fact that this great God, this all-knowing God who knows everything about us, this just God, still knew everything I've done, I'm doing, and I'm going to do. He know all that about us, but he still let his son hang on a tree and die for us. We rejoice, we get happy. Because we are people who were told we weren't even a whole man. But God in his love. You are so important to me. Your worth is so much to me that I'm going to let you become one of my children. We rejoice. And brothers and sisters, you need to understand something. More often than not in the black church, they have to take you back by the cross just for that just reason, to remind us, even though God done opened so many doors and we've got so much, a high price has been paid for us to have the right to eternal life. So we can stop and reflect on the price that was paid for us to be his children. Wow. That is something to rejoice about. That is something to sing praises to the Lord God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I am humbled by the fact that God loved me so much that he let his son die for me. Wow. So as a good officer of the United States Army, let me tell you what I told you. I have told you that God never forgot about us. He was always in his plan. That from the beginning to the end, God have always put little things, little nuggets in his word to remind us, I hadn't forgot about you. Yes, these are my chosen people, but I hadn't forgot about you. I've told you you need to be a person of prayer. You need to spend time with God, going to him, crying out to him, so you can understand that the things you are doing are in line with what he wants you to do. I've told you that God has given you a time of preparation, and that's going to be always in life. Most of you right now are in a time of preparation. God is preparing you to go out on the field to do something great for God. And I told you there's a time of presentation. There's a time when you must stand. And brothers and sisters, it's not always a sermon. It just may be the life you live. There's a time of presentation. And I also told you, thank God there's a time of praise. Because you know the God that you serve is able to do what he has said. And he can work through the foolish things of man and do great things in a way that man cannot even begin to claim they did it themselves. Wow. What an awesome God we serve. Let us pray.